Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Today we follow the order of prayer and preaching found on page 260 in Lutheran Service Book. The text is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And Jesus said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I will have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed, I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the catechism, first we have the Ten Commandments, which is a summary of God's law. Then we have the Creed, which is a summary of everything God has done, in particular of the gospel in our Lord Jesus Christ. That makes up the parts of repentance. And our confession says if anyone wants to add a third part, good works that flow from repentance, we have no objection. In a real way, the Lord's Prayer fits this purpose. For we are all of us, every Christian, priests of God, serving under our high priest Christ Jesus. And what is it that Peter says priests are to be doing? Well, offering sacrifices and praying. Our sacrifices are our good works in all of life, and our prayers are many. That makes this an especially difficult part of the Christian faith to talk about, because it is supposed to be so ubiquitous. Because for some of us, it is anything but ordinary and common in what we do. And we know that in our mind, everybody prays, even if they probably don't believe in God. So what unique thing can we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ? I think a great place to start is with that office that he gives to us as priests in his New Testament kingdom. And that is, we are priests that serve under our high priest. We are those who come bringing prayers as sacrifices, to put the incense onto the burning coals and to let it rise up to our Lord, and to see, just as it was in the Old Testament, that first the chief sacrifice of the day, the lamb, must go down if anything else is to be offered. So we offer our prayers in the lamb, up burning with him as the foundation of it. So it is that the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Teach us to pray. We don't know how to do it. John gave some tips, but you, Lord, you're the one from whom all truth comes." And they're right to say so. When we pray, then, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John's gospel that it's not only that we should ask Jesus to pray for us, but that we are to speak to the Father in his name. What this means is as it says in Peter, that we are priests serving underneath Christ Jesus, the high priest. Therefore, we have every confidence. We serve at his behest and his command. Therefore, we should not be afraid. Or, to borrow from the much more common and direct image that we have in prayer, we know that our Heavenly Father loves to hear from his children. Now, at first, we might say, well, what right do we have to be called the children of God, as we'll hear about on Christmas? The answer, of course, is, again, our Lamb, Christ Jesus. Because he has come into our flesh, because he has given his blood as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, because he has been the ransom price that buys us back. We are now brothers in blood with Christ Jesus our Lord. And that means that when he says, I pray to my Father, he now is so gracious as to say, we pray to our Father. Because in Christ Jesus, we are heirs. We are all of us, men or women alike, firstborn sons with Christ Jesus of God the Father. That is how we are able to pray. That is why all of our prayers end in some way in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like those sacrifices, in him we offer them rightly. What is prayer? It is asking. We hear that in today's reading, that the summary of it is to ask. And Jesus says, ask repeatedly. So also he teaches this in John's Gospel, that up until then, maybe the disciples had asked nothing in his name. Now, that means they will ask for everything in his name. People don't really like to ask for things, directions, help. It reveals that something is lacking in us. I mentioned at the beginning that this seems to be in the place of good works in the Catechism. That is why we ought to pray for good works, by the way. We find all the time that we're lacking in them. We have plenty of sins to confess. We also have plenty of deeds that could be done. That might be something to despair of, but the Lord says, no, you should ask for these things. How will your Heavenly Father who loves you not give them all? So that's the summary of it. Ask until the last day when all things are revealed to be in full subjection under Christ's feet. We will ask all the time. We'll never run out of things to ask for. In fact, almost our prayers themselves would be enough to ask for, that we could increase in them, that we could pray more fervently, that we could remember all of the people who are in need of our prayers, or that we could even just diagnose our own needs correctly. Asking is the summary of prayer. Therefore, as we learn from the Catechism, as we'll sing in a moment also in the fantastic hymn that will take care of the whole Lord's Prayer for us, we ask as dear children, asking a dear Father. That means we're asking in Jesus' name. Of course, we're coming as his brothers, as the co-heirs with this King, asking his Father, knowing with confidence that he wants to hear us, that he wants us to ask, and that he will listen, that he will certainly answer, and he will do all things for our good. This is the confidence that we have. We don't lob our prayers off into the atmosphere, to the void, and hope that maybe there's somebody out there listening. No, we're directing our prayers to our Heavenly Father in the name of Christ our Lord, our sacrifice, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit in his name. It's important then to realize what prayer is and what prayer is not. That prayer is us asking God, that it's us speaking to him, and that it is him listening to us. Why does that matter? It matters because if we think prayer is us listening for God to talk to us, we will be led into one of two places. Perhaps we'll be led into all sorts of strange places that maybe other voices that speak, perhaps even demonic voices, will be heard, but usually it's simply that we listen to our own thoughts, our own answers, our own great ideas, which we're never short of. Because wouldn't it be better if you didn't have to ask at all? if you already had it all? That's the temptation we have in prayer. And that's what makes prayer not a means of the Lord's grace, that a place where He is delivering things to us, but a place where we are being exercised, where, yes, we can classify prayers, if you want, under the good works category, the sacrifices that we as priests offer. And I think probably the best word for it is an exercise. If you struggle with prayer, you probably struggle with exercise too. If you are reluctant to pray, well, very simple. If you are feeling guilty for how little you pray, and if you're seeing the evidence of it in your life, that too is like exercise. Exercise can be very painful. It can damage your body for a time. And yet we know that it builds character and strength for the long run. This is the way the Lord has given us prayer. Not a place where our faith is directly increased with the nourishment that comes from our vine, but where we are exercised in that faith. Faith prays to God. Faith knows Him as the one who has provided an atoning sacrifice, who loves us, who cares for us, who is better than all of us, even though we have our moments, despite our evil, as Jesus says. He is always faithful and true. Therefore, it asks Him for everything. And it especially asks Him when it does not see His answer coming, when it does not see a world that agrees with a loving, caring God, but sees Him perhaps just as the evil fathers that Jesus says, "My Father would never be like this." And you know that. So this is why prayer can be a great exercise, especially for those who ask over and over and over again, where the devil would wish to tempt us to think, "I don't know if there's anybody on the other end of the line." But we know that the Lord's word is a great ally in this. So we'll hear that it is an invitation from Christ that prompts His disciples to have confidence in their prayers. If our Father wants to hear us, if Jesus goes with us, then we have confidence as we bring our prayers to Him. So also the Word of God itself contains prayers, like the Lord's Prayer, like the Psalms, a whole fantastic book of prayers for every circumstance centered in Christ Jesus, our High Priest. Just briefly, it is helpful to know that in the life of the Church, we have three main prayers on which everything else is based. If you want the simplest prayer, it's the one that the lepers offer. It's the one that the blind man offers. It's the one that the tax collector at the temple offers. "Lord, have mercy." The Kyrie eleison. If you know nothing else to pray, knock on the Lord's door continually with this prayer. If you know something better, then make it the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord's own words can't be false, even in our mouths, which often are false. So let us pray it fervently with faith from the heart. Expanding on that, we have the litany, which simply brings all sorts of petitions to the Lord under that category of, "Lord, have mercy." We tend to pray this in dark times, penitential times, places like Lent, or when some great tragedy that we don't know what to say about has happened. To that, we append all of our personal prayers, all of our thoughts and our sighs, all of our great collects written by fantastic wordsmiths throughout the Church's history, whatever it may be. And of course, we understand all of the Psalms inspired not by man's frailness, but by our Lord's Holy Spirit. These prayers of Christians that have gone before us and of our Lord Himself in the Scriptures should not be poo-pooed and cast aside simply because they're not my words. In fact, they should be treasured precisely for that very point, that we don't have to make this up ourselves. The whole point of prayer is not that we are sufficient for anything. It is that our Lord and our Father loves us. How will He not? Of course He will. And Christ Jesus, in whose name we bring these prayers, makes us amen certain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.